boss of the graveyard. The boss of the graveyard. Cindy, can you read that first word there? Alto. And then Kai. Elthon. Asto Peron. Tase. Galilee. Thalasses, that is. Ace, Tain, Koran, Ton, Gerasenon. Here we start a story of a very special man in church history. This man is fantastic in church history. He founds many, many churches, but the Lord won't let him directly follow him. But right now we see him as a little a demoniac. And to him they came unto the other side. The word tone or to peron there, that is way over yonder, is what it means, over yonder. The other side. The other side of the sea into the country, Koran, the country, Ton Gerasenon. Cindy, you know anything about these dudes over there? These Gadarenes? Do you know anything about these? Oh, okay. How about you, Brother Rocker? How about these Gadarenes? Where do you think they came from?
Gad.
What?
Gad.
The Gadites. These were Gad. These are the descendants of Gad. Okay? The descendants of Gad. And these people had been carried off into the captivity, and they had crossbred with the Syrians, and now they're back in here. And some of this group and the other groups on down in Samaria, they were all like half-breeds, and the Jews didn't like them. And this old boy here, now the word Gad means warrior. It means fortune. It also means to return from a battle or to attack. It means a warlike people. Those who came from a pilgrimage or a fight is what it means. So there are the people that we're dealing with. And then, Sharon, what's this word here, the first one? On the second verse. Yeah, second verse. It's real hard. Kai. Okay. Brother Roger, can you read that second word? You're next, Cindy.
No.
How about it, Cindy? Exelthontos. Exelthontos. And then altu. Ek tu ployu. Euthus. Hepen tason. Alto. Ek ton. Menemion. Anthropos in pneumati akartho. And having come out of him, the boat, out of the boat, that means a little boat, immediately, promptly, Euthus. Now, this word here is not in the old manuscripts, but they have put, someone put it back in there because Mark kept using this word over and over again. So, why didn't they put it there? So, I'm just going to put it there anyway. And then, hepen tason, he met him out of the tombs, out of the sepulchres. Now this word menemion there, that where we get our word memorial service. A man, an anthropos, one of the human beings, in spirit unclean. He is absolutely immersed in spirit unclean. He's immersed in it. Under complete domination of this unclean spirit. Now, we're going to see something. We're going to separate the human from the spirits in him. The human from the spirits in him. Because what kind of nature do we have? What kind of nature is it called? God made us in his image, and so we have what?
Warriors.
What?
Warriors. Is that what kind of country?
Marilyn? I have to put up with this every day. Marilyn, what did I say? You've got me completely off now.
What kind of spirit?
Boy, how you come up with this stuff, I do not know.
Well.
What kind of nature do we have? God made us in his image, so we have what?
Sovereign.
We have sovereign, but we have a triune nature. Triune nature. Now we're going to find out that the flesh of this man is suffering tremendously. The flesh of this man is in complete control by the spirit or the spirits of evil beings. And the flesh sometimes wants to escape. Would you like to ever escape out of situations that you have been in, that you're physically in situations that you wanted out of that situation? You wanted out of there. Your spirit was suffering. Your soul was suffering. Your body was suffering. And now we're going to look at this guy. He's the boss of the cemetery. No one can control him at all. He has made his abode with those that are dead. The boss of the necropolis, the city of the dead. Now we have another word here, hos, tain, katoi, kaisen, ekain, en, tois, menemenesen, kai, ude, alise, ukete, Udes, Edenatal, Alton, Dese. And this man, and then it says who, we have a nominative singular masculine relative pronoun. Nominative singular masculine relative pronoun. And I wrote neuter down there, so just erase that and put masculine down there. That's before I had better sense. I don't know why I wrote that down there. Maybe I got somebody distracting me or something. Who, the down home. Who, his permanent dwelling place. He had his permanent dwelling place. This is where he dwells all the time. This is where he lives now. And he continues to live. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. He continues to have his dwelling among the dead people. Marilyn tells me that her family lived down there near a slaughterhouse in Los Angeles. Didn't smell good, did it?
No, it sure didn't.
It doesn't smell good. I don't think these tombs smelled any better. Now, I live out there among probably nearly a million cows. In almost any direction that the wind blows in the evening, you get to smell methane gas deluxe. And it is not good. Okay, this is not a good place to have a barbecue outside at night. The whole place will go up and smoke. Poof, woof, with all this methane gas and dust that's going around. He continually had his homing place in the tombs. He lived among the dead. And this man was spiritually dead at this time, wasn't he? He absolutely was a living dead. This man was a what we call the living dead. And neither ude with chain, and this means the inner chain or with a chain. These chains were not quite as strong as modern chains because they were made out of bronze and they were softer metal. Now they make chains out of steel most of the time. But I'm going to tell you something. Demons are hard to control. today, demons possess people also, and they use vehicles to do that. One of the vehicles that people use today, they think they're making them feel good, is alcohol and drugs, all types of drugs. And actually, when they're under the influence of PCP and some of the things that we have, the drugs on the street, I remember down here where you take off of 99 over there on the old Union Avenue, which was 99 a long time ago, a police officer stopped a man there that was on drugs. He was so strong that he took the police officer's .357 Magnum away from him after the police officer had shot him six times with it and started beating him with his gun. Without bullets. It's hard to stop them. In the Philippines, they developed a very powerful round, which is called a .45 ACP. ACP means automatic Colt pistol. And it has a 230 grain bullet in it and enough powder to make it go pretty powerful. It has a lot of knockdown powder. Now, before that, they had 38 specials. And they had 38 long Colts. And when they went to the Philippines, they found out people down there were drugged up and doped up. And they were in the Vietnam also, as you know, brother. It's hard to stop people when they're doped up. And so they used this .45 ACP because it would knock them down, at least. And most of the police officers, they are using .45 ACPs. Because it still stops people. If you want to kill somebody, they say shoot them with a .22. If you want to stop them, shoot them with a .45. A .22 will ricochet all through your body and cut you up so bad and everything, and bleeding and organs all tore up, that you probably will not survive. But a .45 will stop you. It may not kill you, but it'll stop you. Most of the time, it does kill you. With a chain, supernatural powers. Where did he get his powers? From one of the ten dimensions that we don't talk about, that we don't understand. One of the ten dimensions. Neither with a chain, and no longer no one was being able, kept on being able, him to bind. They could not bind him. He's the boss. And the most powerful being in the graveyard, of course, everybody else there is dead. Pretty weak, aren't they? Pretty helpless at that time. But here we have the boss of the graveyard. 5 and verse 4. How about this, Cindy? Can you read that first line? Well, that's good. Dia to alton polakis. And then we have the word pides, kai, alises, Dedeste, Kai, Dies, Poste, Heap, Auto, Tas, Alesis, Kai, Tas, Pidas, Sin, Te, Tri, Fe, Te. That's a hard word. Sin, Te, Tri, Trif, Te. You got a PH and you got a TH there. Yes. Thrifte. Thrifte. Kai. Udes. Esquin. Autu. Dimese. I said, because the him, often, many times, it's a little adverb from polis, many times, it says, now here we have fetters. Or pedes. Pedes means what? Foot. So what are these? These are leg irons. Leg irons. My great-great-grandfather, how many of you watched the movie True Grit? True Grit with John Wayne. You ever watch that with John Wayne? John Wayne came up to Fort Smith, Arkansas, where old Isaac Parker was, and he drove up this crossbar hotel on wheels. And all these guys got out of there with leg irons and chains on. Now, I will tell you this. That Crossbar Hotel was for the infirm. Everybody else got to walk in leg irons and chains. My grandfather walked. Sam Paul, Tecumseh McClure, and Fred Waite all walked 185 miles in chains, with chains on them. At nighttime, they would throw a big chain and put a lock on it around some oak tree or hickory tree or something, and that's what they say. They didn't get to stay in the Crossbar Hotel. That was for the people that couldn't walk. All the way there. Now, this fella here could not be bound with leg irons. These fetters here, the pedes, are leg irons. You write down leg irons there, okay? Because that's what that is. Leg irons and chains. Lisese. Chains. And this means to have been bound. To have been bound. And to have been broken. This word, diespaste, that means to break and to strip off. It means to be broken and stripping off. He just ripped them off. Billy the Kid, one time in Lincoln County, where they had him arrested, they put him in handcuffs, and his wrists were very small, and he just slipped out of them. He acted like they were on him for a while until he got right in exactly the right place, and he just slipped them off. And people like Houdini in history, they could slip out of these things. But this man did not slip out of these. He broke them. He just ripped them off. They were broken and ripped off by him, the chains and the leg irons. They were shattered. This word here, sin tetrithai, that means to shatter and to break them in pieces. To shatter and break to pieces. The leg irons and the chains were in pieces. And no one had been strong enough, kept on being strong enough, him to tame or restrain. And that's the first aorist infinitive active there. Demase. To tame him or subdue him or control him. No one had been able to. Now, I'm sure they had a few synagogue rabbis out there that had been trying to cast demons out of this guy. Did they do that? Did the rabbis try to cast demons out of people? Yeah, they did. Nothing had worked. This guy was historically unreachable. Unreachable. And the man was totally self-destructive. This is the person we're going to see, the man. We're going to see the flesh of this man. It is suffering. Kai dia pontos. Nyctos kai hemeros en telis Mene masin kai en tois oraisin ein krazon kai kata kopton hilton lithois. And because of all, literally always or completely, and completely night and day, nyctos kai hemeros, night and day, in the tombs, among the tombs, and in the mountains, he kept on being, crying out, krazon. This is an onomatopoeic word here. It means a cry, to scream. A scream and a cry is... covers all language barriers, doesn't it? This onomatopoeic crying. And kata kopton. And it means to dash and mangle and wound and slash. He was beating himself up all the time. Beating himself up. All time beating himself up. And that word kiaton there, that means accusative singular masculine third person pronominal reflexive pronominal adjective. Himself with stones. This is a picture of demonism. The demonic. I'll never forget so many years ago when that one movie came out with that little girl sitting there with her head twisting all around and all that. I can't remember what the name of that was. What was it?
The Exorcist.
The Exorcist. People, that is real. Not that, specifically. But these things really happen. And in countries that have rejected the gospel, it is more prevalent than any place else. In countries that have rejected the gospel, and what countries have rejected the gospel? Where did the gospel go first? And you're going to find out this man right here is responsible for the gospel going. The first man, this is the first foreign missionary. This is him. We're going to see that. He's the first foreign missionary. Of course, everything was foreign. The next city was foreign. He went into the cities of Decapolis, we will find out. Where was the gospel first carried? The Arius. Because of this man, the gospel was carried all the way down into Syria. What has Syria done with the gospel? Can you preach the gospel in Syria? I was there for 9 days one time. We could not. What? No, if you preach the gospel there, you won't live. You had to be very, very careful. We were on a bus one time, and this guy was with us, and he was an older guy, about 70-something years old. We were on this archaeological tour. But we got up, and he started singing a Christian song on the bus, trying to get everybody to lead. And he had a good voice. And the tour leader grabbed him down like that, and he said, "Shut up, you'll get us killed." He didn't understand this. He'd never been anywhere where you couldn't say something about Jesus. You get killed over there if you say something about Jesus. It's not any free countries over there. They have rejected the gospel, and now they are locked into demonism in a demonic religion. Arabia. Africa. Years ago, they came out with this movie, Roots. Remember that? Alex Haley and all of that? And the original religion of the black people was Islam. Hogwash. It was Christianity. If it wasn't paganism. Islam came in there and they killed everybody that wouldn't believe. The gospel went down to Africa. It spread everywhere. It went all the way into India. What happened to India? Same thing. Muhammad conquering to conquer. Went down there and I think he killed 60 million people down there. His people, that is, not him. Bringing the world into the ultimate universal caliph. I think the last time I was here, I talked about Brigitte Bardot. Brigitte Bardot was arrested 5 times in France for speaking out against Islam. Hate speeches and things that she was making. She was just calling that France went back and remembered their own culture and quit being trying to be assimilated into Islam. And let them respect the laws of their nation, but he said they won't do that. They're trying to bring in the universal caliph. There's a concept. Well, we need to listen to her a little bit. Now let's look at verse number 6. Kaidon, Tonesun, Apo, Makrothane, Edramen, Kai, Prosek, Ken Nason, Alton. And having seen the Jesus from afar, he ran. Now that's second heiress. What's second heiress tell us, Cindy?
Not immediately.
Not extremely punctiliar, but it happened in a period of time, but it was a little more durative, linear. Okay. And he ran, did this 100-yard dash or 500-yard dash or half-mile dash, whatever it was. And he bent the knee. He worshipped him. What do you think? What do you think is going on here? I want help. Help me. And then what happens? Demons start speaking. That man has suffered. How long has he suffered? For years. No one could tame him. No one could do anything for him. He must have been an awfully tough man, full of scars. Scars from self-abuse. How many times do people in the world today abuse themselves with alcohol and drugs and all types of things? You go down here in some of the bars in Oildale, and used to be on the strip, the Edison strip and everything, and you got guys going in there to fight. They go in and get one drink, and they're ready to fight everybody in the bar, and they beat each other all up. They bite their ears off. They bite their noses off. They poke their eyes out. They kill each other. They shoot each other. They stab each other. That's what you call it. I mean, when you go there like that, you may as well go to war, huh, Brother Roger? At least you're doing something over there. Not totally self-destruction. At least you've got a cause. What cause do you have? Such as that. What cause do you have? We can feel sorry for that element of society that does that. But that's what they do. Can you read that first line there, Cindy? But number 7.
Kai, I'm guessing, Krasos.
That's right.
Bone Megale.
Very good. Kai, Krasos, Bone Megale. And having cried out. Having cried out, that's the first aorist, that's real punctiliar. He screamed out with a voice great, and he says, what to me and to you? What to me and to you? Now who's speaking? It's not the body of the man, is it? He's using his voice, but now we have demons. The man wants help. He falls at his feet worshiping him. The body is saying, help me. I want out of this prison. He was imprisoned, wasn't he? Jesus, Son of the God, the Most High. Son of the Most High God. Now this demon, he didn't... He didn't argue with him, did he? Like Satan did. If you be the Son of God, jump off this mountain. If you worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. He said, I implore you. This word here is like exorcism. Horkizo. You to the God, not me, you may punish. That word bazonizo. It means torturous examination. It means severe pain and treatment. It means to be tested. Tested by torture. Remember that the Inquisition? The Spanish Inquisition? Marilyn has really been interested in church history. And I tell you, we get in the car and she starts interrogating me. What about this? What about... When did the Crusades begin? I said, Crusades became much later. But I said, Muhammad learned early from Catholicism, because Catholicism was already going out and conquering by the sword and going and converting whole nations. You either believed or you died. And Muhammad's message didn't work, so he looked at what is Catholicism. Then he said, you know, that worked for them. It ought to work for me. So he took his sharp knives and he went out there and started cutting throats if you didn't concede. He cried out with a great voice, what to me and to you, Jesus, Son of the God, Most High. He knew who he was, didn't he? Did the Jews? The Jews were locked into their demonic religion, which are still locked into today, aren't they? They don't want to say the name of God. Marilyn hears me preach on the radio quite a little bit, and I've had sometimes people come out there. I was talking to a man here a while back, and I was speaking to him with Hebrew and all the Hebrew legends and the Kabbalah and everything else. See, I'm familiar with all of this. And he was really excited. He says, I am a student of the Old Testament, even though I don't like to call it the Old Testament because it is the only Testament. He didn't want to even recognize Jesus at all. I kept throwing that old boy curves, make him think. Yeah, what about this? What about that? What about that? He'd say. I said, you know, I said the Septuagint in the Old Testament and the Greek, and we talked about the different kinds of Jews, different kinds of pronunciations. The ones of the Eastern pronunciations, that one's the closest to the Hebrew, and the Western pronunciation is Yiddish or German pronunciation. And he knew all about that. And then the persecutions of the Jews in different places. And I talked about the courtesans, how that the Jewish women would train as prostitutes and everything. They would go into different nations and seduce princes and things so that their people could live there. And France was one of the places, and some of the other northern European nations. We talked all about this, but he sure didn't like the name of Jesus. They don't like it today. He's the only Savior there is. Jesus is the only Savior. This demon, these demons recognized the person of Jesus instantly, but the Jews would not. They would not, would they? Verse number 8, Elegane, gar alto ex elthe, to numa to akarton, ek tu anthropu. And he continued to say, he kept on saying to him, come out, get out. The spirit, the unclean, out of the man. Did Jesus understand the flesh of this man was suffering? And the man had come there for help. And yet Jesus is going to heal this man. And he's going to do it for a reason. First of all, he healed the man by the power of the Holy Spirit, didn't he? All right? He healed this man by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And they kept saying that he healed by the power of demons. Yeah, here is a demon. This is at least 2,000 demons in this man. And he said, come out of him, come out of him, come out of him. He kept on saying, come out of him. Kai? Epi rota, auton, t onoma, c kai lege, auto, legion, onoma moi, hote, paloi esmens. And he kept on interrogating him. Jesus is interrogating the demons. Now Jesus knows who they are, doesn't he? But so we know who they are. He interrogates them. So the Jews around him would know who he is and who they are. He interrogates them. And I can assure you that sometime or another some rabbi had come out here to try to subdue this man. Why, he was what we call a public nuisance and a public danger and a danger to himself. He kept on interrogating him. What name to you? What is your name? Now, this man had a name, but who is Jesus asking, addressing here? The demons. And he says to him, legion, legion. It comes from Latin, legio. Legio in Latin. All right. Legio in Latin. And it means 3,000. A legion is a body of soldiers from 3,000 to 6,000 men. And 300 to 700 cavalrymen. Cavalry. That's a legion. 3 to 6,000 men, and between 300 to 700. 300 to 700 horsemen, mounted soldiers. That's a legion. That's something. Legion. Now they use this Latin term. That's a Roman term. That's Latin. Okay. Name to me, because many we are. How many demons are in it? At least 2,000. Minimal 2,000. That is what we call a low estimate. 5 and verse 10. Pi, or Chi, para, kale. I tried to read that backwards from Hebrew. Didn't work. Chi, para, kale. Alton, pola, hina, me, alta. Apostole, exotes koros. And now look at the imperfect tense here. Mark, John Mark, is a master of the imperfect tense because he is thinking in Hebrew and he's writing in Greek. And so the Hebrew comes into the Greek. And he kept on begging and beseeching him. Third person singular, imperfect indicative active. Him, auton, that's accusative singular masculine third person pronoun. Much. They didn't lock the bathroom on you, did they? Much. In order that not them he might send outside of the country. Demons are territorial. Are they not? From what we find in the Bible. Demons are territorial. You can subdue demons for a while, but they don't want to leave. They are territorial. Demons are territorial. Territorial. What does territory mean? They like to be in a certain area. Demons are territorial. Lamont, Arvin, specifically in a certain area, a certain neighborhood. Have you ever heard of neighborhoods that had a lot of crime? A lot of murders? A lot of rapes. When I moved out there to Valley Acres, out there this side of Taft, California, I moved out there, and this one son of an old man that lived there, they had lived there for many years, he said, this street has a legacy of rapes and murders. He said, my sister was raped and murdered there. He said, it happened over here, and it happened over there, and it happened over here, and it happened over here, all up and down Maple Street. He said, it just keeps repeating itself with violence over all the years. He said, I don't know why. He said, the people here are good people, but things happen. Things happen on this street. Demons are territorial. Verse number 11. Ein, de, eke, pros, to, ore, agale, koron, megale, bos, komene. Now, demons like to do what? They like to what? Marilyn, what demons like to do? All right. How about it, Cindy? What do demons like to do? Huh? They are unclothed beings, aren't they? Angels are clothed. They have form. Demons don't have form. So what do demons like to do? They like to dwell in human or animal flesh. What did you say, Cindy?
I said dance around naked.
Oh, dance around naked. Well, there are many pagan religions that do that, aren't there? And by the way, the inspiration of that is right here. dancing around naked. Well, demons seek to dwell in animal or human flesh. Now, I have said that many times. And I also have said things over and over again. From the Hebrew language, Brother Roger, are animals triune? Absolutely. They have bodies, they have souls, and they have spirits. The spirit is what keeps them alive. That's the breath of life. The soul is their nature, their being, their mind, and of course their body, their basar, their flesh. We see that. And in Greek, it is sarx, and it is what? Pneuma, and it is psyche. They have body, souls, and spirit. And everything that God has created like this has a volition, doesn't it?
That's what I was going to say. Does everything that has a will can decide things for themselves? Are they considered they have a soul?
All living things, according to the book of Genesis, have souls. Even a whale.
So they all have a will.
Evidently, they have a will.
I mean, I know, like, dogs do.
Well, yeah, dogs do. Cats do. Cats are, you know, you've got to really be strong to have a cat. Cats are very dominant beings. You don't master cats. They are your master. They tell you what to do. You don't tell them to do nothing. They train you. Well, in the garden. Now, we just studied this. In secrets from Genesis up there. You were there, Brother Roger. The serpent, Nahash, in the book of Genesis, did he have a will? Was he converted by Satan? Did he relinquish his body to Satan to be used? Yes. Did God curse him? Yeah, he cursed him. Did he curse all his progeny? Yes. Because of that. For a long time,
so
too.
They can't come in and overtake anything that doesn't want to be overtaken.
Evidently, demons cannot overtake anything that doesn't want to be overtaken, but they can fool you. They can trick you. They're tricksters, aren't they? Why, the serpent became more deceptive than all things. And Satan is the master deceiver, isn't he? He's the master deceiver. You think you want something, it's maybe not you that's wanting it. All right? Simple as that. You think. The master deceiver. And he keeps on beseeching him. Much. That he may not send him outside. That word apostole. That word apostole there means send with authority. Divine authority, hear me. And then he said, and he kept on being there toward the mountain. A herd of Koran. You know that pigs are some of the smartest animals on the earth. They're one of the smartest mammals on the earth. Now, I had one. Marilyn, was that pig smart, old Wilbur? She was smart. That was a smart animal. I never had a dog as smart as her. Never had a horse as smart as her. She was smart. Well, I will say this. Peanut, the pony, was just about on her level. I have to say that. She was a pony. A lot older than that pig. The pig only lived 13 years. Peanut lived 47 years. And that thing had a soul in her that was gold, 24 karat gold. I can tell you that much right now. I never saw an animal like that. That was the most special animal that I think I've ever known in this world. It was that little white horse. They think. Now here we have swine. Wilbur, I used to train mechanics. I trained mechanics at Ace Hydraulic, and I trained them at Sully & Son Hydraulic. I was the head person. I had a guy that was a foreman over there, and I was the head mechanic at Sully & Son Hydraulics, and he would come back there, and people would work trying to take a cylinder or a jack apart or something like that, and I could take it apart in 1 minute. And he'd come back here smiling. He said, take this apart real quick, Jim. I went to school with him. You know, he said, take this apart for me real quick. And so I'd take it apart real quick, and I'd go up there with it apart like that. And a guy would just send her, I've been trying to get that apart for 2 weeks. He said, some things only an Indian knows. He'd say that about me, you know. So Some things only an Indian knows. Well, that pig. You know the guy on the radio that's a talk show host around here? What? The one that I met him over there one time with you. Over there at Gary Rubin's place. Scott Cox. Scott Cox went to work for Sully & Son Hydraulics. And he did not have any natural inclination to be a mechanic at all. And I had him cutting bolts off for me one day. I had to have these bolts cut off 24 inches. So I gave him that. I took a marker and marked them all for him 24 inches like that. And he was over there and he's sawing and sawing and sawing and sawing and sawing. And I said, here, put a new hacksaw blade in that thing. Put a new hacksaw blade in it. And an hour later, he's sawing and sawing and sawing and sawing. I said, Scott, what in the world are you doing? He said, well, I can't get it sawed. It won't. The metal must be really hard. I go over there and he had the hacksaw blades in backwards. So I took the thing apart and I even turned the hacksaw around. I said, let me show you something. I turned that hacksaw around. I started sawing it and I cut one off and nothing flat. And then I took the hacksaw and took it apart and put the blade in. I said, now saw these things all off. I said, man, we got to get this thing together. They're waiting for it. That didn't work. I could have shown Wilbur that one time and she'd have had it. That boy didn't know his right from left. Left things come off and right things go on. Okay? If you get underneath a car and it goes backwards to people, I mean, I think I got a mechanic trained. He gets under the car and he breaks the bolt off because he's trying to tighten it up instead of loosening it up. Wilbur, one time, I took a float and put it in her water trough. And she saw me take that other float off and put the other one on, and that's all it took. I couldn't keep a float on it. I'd put one on there, I'd tighten it up, she'd go out there with her little old mouth, stick her head underwater and reach underneath this thing, because it was underwater. Stick it under this cage and go, and run over there with it in her mouth, clicking it in her mouth. Look what I did, Daddy. You know. Then I'd get down there and put it back on, and she'd pull my shoes off and take off with them. She'd opened every gate on the place, turned every faucet on. I had to do stink all over again for this pig. I mean, I couldn't do her like a horse and lock a gate. She'd see what she did and just do it. These pigs are smart. This is some of the smartest mammals on the earth. They say the smartest mammal on sea is a whale and a dolphin and a killer whale. But the smartest animal, mammal on the ground, they say is a swine, a hog. And there's a great herd of swine feeding, pasturing themselves. Nominee singular, feminine, present, participle, middle voice. They're out there taking care of themselves. Verse number 12 now. Kai, para kaleison, auton, legontes. Pempson, himas, ace, tus, korus, hina, ace, altus, exelthomen. Now, I said that demons like to dwell in human or animal flesh because demons are unclothed. The angels are clothed beings, and angels and demons are not the same beings. Here we have demons which are fallen spirits. We have fallen angels and we have fallen spirits. Fallen angels are clothed. Fallen spirits seek to dwell in human or animal flesh. And they kept on beseeching, or they beseeched him, first aorist, him, saying, you sin, you keep on sending us, keep on sending us, second person singular, first aorist, imperative, active. All right, keep on sending us. First error is a perfect active imperative. Us unto the swine. These innocent pig now. In order that in them, now that word is ace there. See that one, extension, limitation of thought or verbal action. That's a grammatical rule on that. Into them that we might enter. They were free to stay into these pigs and swine until the pigs and swine died. If the swine agreed. But the swine did not agree. Okay? The swine did not agree. They didn't want to live like this. The man fell down in front of God, the Son, and said, he just didn't say anything as far as recorded, but Jesus saw this man wanted help. He was hurting. And he wanted help. But the Spirit spoke out. Because the spirits were complete. He was immersed in the spirits of demons. They were free to stay in the swine until they died. And these demons must inhabit some kind of flesh to clothe themselves. So, here we have it. Kai, epithrixen, autois, kai, exelthonta, ta, pneumata, ta, akarta, exelthon, ace, tame, thalassane, hos, diskiloi, kai, epi, nigonta, ente, thalassae. And I think that I have to insert this down at the bottom because I skipped a line. So, exelthon, and then ace, tous, koras, kai, uromason, hey, agale, kata, tu, krenu, and he permitted allowed them. That's epithrexe. That's epientrepo. He permitted and commissioned them. And having departed, having come out of the spirits, the unclean, they entered into the swine, if you go back down to the bottom of the page, and he rushed each swine. Each swine, each one of them rushed the whole herd down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 swine. There was more than enough demons to go around, weren't there? And they continually choked in the sea. They kept on choking in the sea. So what did the demons end up with? They end up on their own again, unclothed. Now, according to Jewish tradition, this is a whole lot. I have to say this about this. According to Jewish tradition, the Sea of Galilee, the bottom of the Sea of Galilee is really deep. And they said the bottom of the Sea of Galilee is the gates of hell. And the violent storms and everything that would come up on the Sea of Galilee were demonic manifestations. So they, now the Jews are here. There are rabbis, there are Sadducees, Pharisees, there are scribes all over the place. And they go out here and they're going to see something very unusual. They couldn't touch this man. They couldn't do anything to this man to help him. But Jesus immediately, he cast demons out of this man that no one could control. No one. He has supernatural strength, even though he's killing himself and injuring himself, self-inflicting all these things upon himself all the time. They can't help him in any way. Jesus instantly kicks these demons out of him. Now, Jews don't like pigs, do they? They don't eat pigs. I think God didn't want them to eat pigs because pigs are smarter than they are. And I mean that. That pigs are smarter than those Jews there, I can guarantee you. They didn't want to live like that. Now, They believed that the bottomless pit, the gates of the bottomless pit, were at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. So they see Jesus casting the demons out of the man. He allows them, he said that he allowed them to go into the swine, which were unclean animals to them. And then the swine, which were unclean animals, they had better sense than a lot of those Jews around them, and they drowned themselves. They drowned themselves. Now, what do the Jews say about swine today? Why don't they eat swine? Cindy, you remember? I was reading the life of Muhammad and everything. How about you, Brother Roger? What do the Jews say about, not Jews, but the Islam, the Muslims say about pigs? The Muslims say that they observe all of the rites that the Jews do in their clean and unclean. They do not. The Muslims do not eat pigs because they think they're Jews. They think they're reincarnated Jews in this animal, and I mean they are unclean. Now, the Mahdi is going to come out of Syria, and the beast is going to come out of Arabia, and then Esau, or their Jesus, is going to come out, and the first thing they're going to do is they're going to kill all the pigs on the earth. Because these are reincarnated Jews. The next thing they're going to do is kill all the Jews on the earth. And then the next thing after that, they're going to kill all the Christians. And they're going to bring in the world into Islam, submission. I thought I'd just throw that in about these pigs business. These are not reincarnated Jews. They got better sense than reincarnated Jews. Chi 14, let's read this one here, and then we're going to stop for this week. Chi hoi baskontes autus ephigon chi apangelon eis tein polin chi eis tus agrus chi elthon edain ti esen to gegonas. And the ones feeding them, they fled. They took flight. And they reported unto the city and unto the fields, unto the farmers. And they came to see what it is, the thing that happened. Curiosity. This is a great miracle. Now, people are going to come in next week, whenever it is, next time I come here. We went from 5:1 through 14, didn't we? Do you have any questions about this? Did you learn something from these verses? All right. Do you have any questions? Nothing? Uthamia? Cindy? Observations or anything? Brother Roger? I tell you these stories and make something, but here we see it happen. We see it before. Could you see this happening? I could. I saw it happen from the words that are written here. I could see those pigs jumping into that lake. I could see this man coming, falling at Jesus' feet and worshiping him. And then the demons take over. Well, this happens every day today, doesn't it? In the world. There's somebody out there that's controlled by demons in Bakersfield, in Oildale, in Tehachapi, Arvin, Lamont, McFarland, Taft, Valley Acres, Derby Acres, Dustin Acres, all these little areas, Panama, Pumpkin Center. There are people around that are demon-possessed. They're controlled by demons. And they're living their lives up and just wasting their lives when they could come to the Master Jesus. And Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you life and freedom. Freedom from these things is wonderful, isn't it? Freedom from them is wonderful. Freedom from all the so-called cares of this world. And all you have to do is realize that Jesus Christ is your Savior. That He died for you. That He gave His life for you. That He was buried and raised after 3 days. and he lives forevermore. He died for your sins and was raised for your justification. Is that good? Dikaiosine? For your justification. Just as if you didn't do anything. Just as if you didn't ever sin. But all those sins are laid upon Jesus. Any questions? Go out and do something eternal. Sharon, you want to dismiss us in prayer, please?